This episode of Down Under Debrief was recorded on sacred Quandamooka country. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Down Under Debrief, the podcast where we, of course, debrief all things Drag Race Down Under. That means that we've got a debrief episode 6.
Yes, and Cal, what an episode this was.
It sure was one of the all-time episodes. We have many thoughts, but, you know, our thoughts are only valid when coincided with an expert opinion.
And what an expert we have today.
Yes, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm going to spell it for you.
Please.
G-A... No, it's too long to spell.
Oh.
But she's super talented. Can't you tell? It's Gabriella Labucci. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I hate you so much.
Oh, we're a bit silly, aren't we?
Look, I'm a regional queen that deserves to be heard on a podcast, so here we are.
Yes. Deserves to be seen? No. There's no visual with this podcast.
Good, because I've got a face for podcast.
Same.
Oh, you're in drag right now.
I am. And might I say, Callum, you look awfully beautiful in this podcast.
Thank you. You as well. Part of my OGTV family.
Fuck my drag.
Well, before we dive in, Gabriella, Drag Race Down Under Season 4, what do you think?
I love it. I'm obsessed. I think it's definitely a push in the right direction, and I'm very pleased that RuPaul is no longer there, so I am the only Down Under diva to get a fun name from Ru.
It's true. Oh my gosh, our Italian queen. You know, we're all about culture on this podcast.
Yes, definitely.
I love that. And I mean, the only person to basically get told to go fuck yourself via Auslan as well.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. I love that. I actually called Rue and Michelle a dickhead more frequently than made it to the air. And I'm really sad about that.
I need to know more. When did you squeeze that in? Was it in Auslan? Did you actually just call them dickheads?
When we did the talent show, yes, hula hooping is a talent. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
When we did the talent show, you had to introduce yourself. Like, it was like a hosting and talent show thing. But the hosting part never made the air.
Oh,
It did for ISIS and, no, I think they only kept ISIS as one in. Maybe Floors as well. I can't remember, but yeah.
And that's why she came out and went, hello, everybody. Really uplifting.
We all have to do the same thing. And yeah, I said, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, enjoy, dickheads.
Fantastic.
Love it. It's a Gabriella charm, isn't it?
It's so Ballarat. I love it.
Well, it's my favourite part about doing drag is I get paid to call people dickheads. It's great.
Wouldn't it be nice?
That's just such a glorious silver lining to hang on to in amongst all the pain of doing drag.
Well, shall we dive into 7 more dickheads?
I think we should.
7 dickheads we've had on our TVs?
Yes, please.
My goodness. Well, it is...
Episode 6.
Episode 6. Everyone's walking back into the workroom and Brenda has just been eliminated.
Robbed!
Yes, well, that's a very valid comment because I was very surprised when Brenda went home just because from the get-go, I thought she was going to be a finalist.
Yeah, she's done incredibly well. Honestly, so, like, I love and I'm so proud of all of these divas, but the Melbourne representation, the Victorian representation this season has just been sensational. And if any of them were to leave, I mean, Brenda just did, it's devastating and it's, I want them all to succeed. I want all the girls to succeed, but I want Melbourne to be fucking all of them at the end.
In terms of representation, it's great to see more than one Brisbane queen on this season because before this season, Ballarat and Brisbane had equal footing with representation.
Well, yes.
And, you know, I think the two are very much so on comparison with one another.
Totally, 100%.
Everyone walks into the workroom, chair of watch, they've not changed.
Nothing. And everyone was so emotional. You could tell that because nobody had spent the time to actually change the cherubs.
No, everyone is upset losing the heart of the season.
Yes.
Brenda. It was so emotional. And I think a really good reflection of how well they've bonded as a group and how we felt as an audience. I was just so shocked by Brenda leaving. And of course, she was too. So you can find out more about that in our chat with Brenda now on our feeds. But you can really tell from the energy in the room that these eliminations are starting to hit home for the contestants. And it's getting down to the nitty gritty. Like, you've got to be on your A game the entire time. Otherwise, the carpet's going to be swept out underneath someone's feet and you're all not expecting it.
Well,
it does get so hard as the competition progresses to see the girls go. Like, I mean, from the first elimination in my season, it was hard because it's like, oh, I don't want anyone to go. I'm glad it's not me. But each week it just gets harder and harder and harder. And I was just fucking heartbroken every single fucking time. And then I can only imagine next week's going to be fucking traumatic as all hell for whoever it is that goes and everyone else who's still in the competition. God, it's good TV, isn't it?
It's great TV.
Eating it up. Eating it up.
And again, because not even the Kath and Kim quote that Brenda left could cheer up the room.
Oh, my God, yeah. What was it? I look around this room and see a bunch of drag queens I don't know and I think, wow, that's beautiful. And then in brackets she put, Mandy, please explain this.
And also her elimination line, Bloody Howard, another Kath and Kim reference.
Yes.
It's genius.
Just lean in. So I cannot wait to see the Mandy and Brenda skit in the tour that is coming up next year, which I believe has been approved that they will be doing a Kath and Kim bit in the show.
As far as we know.
Well, at this stage, it has been cleared with legal, I believe.
It'll be Sue and someone else.
Yes. Well, we came up with Drew and Lou when we interviewed Sue.
And I think Gab would just be goo.
I thought it was funny that basically Nikita isn't worried about this episode, but she has also been voted the person on the cast with the most drag delusion by the cast members. So we'll see how this progresses for Nikita this episode, shall we? You know, Freya's just looking forward to having some fun, and she really brings up a good point. We only get to do this for the first time once, so let's enjoy it and be here in the moment, which I thought, I love that the queens are planning, like, we might get a second or third chance at this, but we only get to do it for the first time once. Gab, when you're in the eye of the storm, let's say in season three, was it just insanity at this point?
Absolutely it is. Like, you can only bring what you can bring, and then, like, they throw curveballs at you and you just have to make do with what you've got. Like, it's so fucking hard, but you also have to trust your gut, but also do what they say. It's the most confusing thing that you could ever do. You never know what they want. They might say they want something, and then you give it to them, and then like, actually, that isn't what we wanted in the first place. Why didn't you do the thing that we like that you do? It doesn't make any sense. It's so confusing. But yeah, you only get the one time to do it the first time, as Freya said, and it's constantly on your mind. It's like, am I putting my best foot forward, or do I try and be something I'm not to try and get further in the competition? I don't know. It's so confusing.
And do you feel like you took the time to actually enjoy it while you were there for the first time?
Absolutely.
Right.
I loved every second of it. It was the hardest thing I've done financially, emotionally, physically, all of those things. But it was so much fun. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
That is so good to hear. Max is just tired.
Definitely can relate to the tired thing. Like, they keep you up so late. Like, a day of filming can go anywhere up to like 13, 14 hours. It depends on like what the challenge is, what they're doing. And then you're stuck in your hotel. You don't get to have the contact with your sisters or any of the outside world. I mean, maybe Nikita did. The rumor is she had a phone on set, apparently, according to Reddit.
Well, we heard that from contestants as well.
But nothing confirmed.
Alleged.
Yes.
But you're so exhausted being cut off from the outside world, having such long days, and then also barely sleeping because you're so stressed about what the next day will bring. I don't blame Max for being so tired, plus all of the fucking shit that she's had to be dealing with, you know, the loss of her mum and being separated from everyone. And
going through a breakup, she mentions in this episode.
And Max was also going through dealing with a torn ligament in her knee the entire season.
I heard about that she did a freaking cartwheel into the split that she famously does, but she already had like damage that she was doing. Good on her.
Talk about a professional, like with everything that is going on plus the competition. And also, I often think that it's not really factored in that the 3 weeks before you leave must be chaos because you are desperately designing, checking measurements, doing all these things. What do I need? All of the runway requirements. Like, if you add the 3 weeks onto the beginning of filming, no wonder they're exhausted. This is a level of exhaustion I cannot relate to.
Insane, the amount of pressure that you put on yourself before the competition, and then the competition actually starts, and you almost have like a little relaxing period when you get there because you're like, I've got what I've got. Let's see what they throw at me. I can't change anything now, so let's take it one day at a time.
I've packed what I've packed.
Very true. Yes.
And the de-dragging. I want to ask about the de-dragging at the beginning of every episode.
Yes.
Is that the funnest thing to film? Because as Beverly said, they just sort of point the cameras at you and go, do something quirky.
Sometimes it's very forced. It's like, hey, why don't we do a wig swap today? Why don't you go and do this? Like, I know after I'd won on episode 3 of my season, they're like, why don't you go and tease the girls about, you know, they better keep up because you've won a mini and a maxi now, blah, blah, blah. So that's why I was like, I'm the winner. They keep up, girls. And then it made me appear to be like really fucking up myself a little bit. But oh well.
I didn't think it came across as that.
No, you know, the competition's really starting to heat up.
It is.
Shut the fuck up, Georges. It is a new day in the workroom. We can see that they've put in minimal effort and popped a singular bracelet on one of the cherubs. So you can tell they are really feeling it this week.
To be fair, those cherubs have had a gorgeous spray paint of gold.
Yes.
Are they the same cherubs? I can't remember.
I thought it was so funny that those cherubs are now gold because here's a bit of fun inside goss. The production company told me that we weren't allowed to be too rough with them because they're rentals, because Hannah, I believe, put lipstick on it and they had to like scrub the shit out of it because they had to give them back.
They borrowed that from the Weta workshop.
And now they're gold. Well,
they might have splashed out and bought them.
Well, they've got that RuPaul money now that she's gone. They've got all this extra budget, though.
That's true.
Yes, and we've seen that with the elaborate Snatch Game set that they built.
Elaborate is a word that could be used.
Look, it was a set and they tried something new. And so for that, I applaud them.
There's only so much you can do in a small tin shed. I'll give them that.
Exactly.
That's true.
And we see that very clearly in this episode.
Vibe is relishing in her win, even though she had to share it, she says with Nikita. But Max is happy, the sun is shining, and she's finally ready to win something this week. Hideous foreshadowing.
Yeah. But look, in walks Michelle, and we get the lovely, "Good morning, Miss Visage," which I loved.
That was cute.
So gay.
Very gay. But also Vibe, as soon as the alarm went off, is like the triggering intensified.
A Vibe is giving it this season and I'm eating it up. And when I had the pleasure of hanging out with her a bit a couple of weekends ago, what an incredibly delightful human being. Just.
Yeah, she's very much so. The personality that she is on TV is just who she is in person. She's gorgeous. I love that a lot of these girls from this season are just very, their personality just translates so well to TV and they're so wonderful.
I agree. What a strong season.
Yes. I do have a question about the alarm. Now watching Drag Race, now that you've been through the experience, does that like make your heart drop every time you hear it?
Well, I don't have a heart, darling. What are you talking about?
Oh, we knew that.
Fair.
Does your asshole widen?
It's my asshole widen.
Yes.
No, the siren is fine. However, Covergirl is the thing that stresses me out because you would hear the boom, 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 and it means that I've got like 10 minutes to get my shit together and be ready to go.
God, yeah, true.
That would be
Thank God we've got a soundboard. No, I'm kidding.
No, absolutely not.
You're into sounding, Callum.
You're sick. Michelle walks in and we hear it's time for the mini challenge, the fake bitch slap. So the queens have to give her a bit of shade and she'll reward them with a fake bitch slap.
And I love this.
This whole thing was hilarious.
Very jealous of this mini challenge. I love the fake bitch slap situation. I love an impromptu acting challenge.
Well, famously, you did win the acting challenge on your season.
I certainly was there and they gave it to me, yes.
It's a great idea that costs nothing, this mini challenge.
Yeah.
There's no ridiculous props. You don't need to set up a fake photo shoot wall where the pit crew is pretending to take a photo of you.
You don't need to hire like 7 briefcases and bits of fabric.
No, that is part of the Barbie collection because they're teeny tiny briefcases.
Little baby ones.
Teeny tiny little briefcases. But
I hope they weren't rentals because didn't Mandy steal hers?
I hope so.
Maybe.
I think so, because in her photos, in the photo shoot that she did, I think she has her briefcase. I'm pretty sure Mandy flogged her suitcase, her briefcase.
Oh, maybe. Oh, Freya had
And to that I say, good girl, Mandy, because you've got to steal stuff while you're on set. You don't get paid enough to do the show, so you've got to take what you can get.
And Mandy took Brenda's paddle pop stick.
She's a little
That's
thief.
That's so fair.
Little stealing piggy.
That's our girl.
Hey, there's one every season. It was me on my season. I took at least 2 things every single day.
As you should.
Okay. Can we just pencil that in to loop back to that at the end of the episode? Because I want to know about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the one with the pencil. Let's do that.
Okay. I'll just pencil that in. Pencil that in. Yeah.
Pencils. Mm. I love pencils. Anyways, I want to go through these one by one just to say we're so good. It starts off with Max. She walks up to Michelle and says, "Roses are red, violets are blue. God made me pretty. What about you?" And with a graceful
slap.
Yeah, slap. Thank you. Yes. And with a graceful twirl, she lands on the ground, a leg in the air.
Pointed toe.
She does a lovely dip. It's gorgeous.
Delightful. And then she sort of turns over and sticks her ass out and goes, "Is that all you've got, Michelle?"
Similar pose to the picture she posted on Twitter this week.
A shout out to Max Drag Queen on Twitter. She had a bum bum out.
Oh, put your cheeks away, girl.
No, I'm happy to encourage this behaviour.
Well,
yeah, but you've got to make him pay for it, Tony. She's going to get her ass out. Get some fucking coin for it.
Well, this is true. This is true. Support the queens in any way you can.
Yes, well, I want to support at RuPaul's Fag Race with an extra E on the end. He replied to Max's little cheeky bum pic and said, no wonder she was in the bottom so much. Look at the material.
Ah, gay.
Gay.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yes. Mandy is up next.
Yes, I liked this.
Walks up to Michelle. She goes, I've been looking forward to this, rubbing her hands. Michelle, I've really enjoyed your critiques this season, but when's the real judge coming? When's Rue going to turn up? Slap. Mandy, spun and then her ass was out. Oh.
She backs it up.
Yes. And the sexual tension between Michelle and Mandy. Like, Michelle smacked her ass.
Yeah. And then Vibe goes, watch out, you'll lose a hand.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Silly.
Vibe. Just stealing every moment of television possible.
I love it.
And I appreciate it. Yes, 100%.
Yes, Lazy's up next. She says, Michelle Visage, was Target having a sale? And Michelle's like, fuck, I have to think of a shop that's relevant to this region of the earth. I don't know. What about Woolworths?
Was Woolworths?
Yes, and she got a slap. And, oh, you know, like she's bleeding. She's got like a nosebleed or something.
I think that's been the best reference that she could ever make, though, given the current situation of Woolworths, you know, the warehouse workers being on strike and everything. It's just became political.
Very topical. You know, that tied in with Max's sheer runway, which was Glinda, while it was the week of Wicked coming out in cinemas.
They knew.
It's all coming together.
Mm.
Yes. Freya is up next. Michelle Visage in New Jersey. Do you need a license to be that ugly? And Michelle just gasps and goes, what about Philly? And smacks her across the head.
And a knee.
And then knees her in the stomach and says, I'll give you a cheesesteak.
Bitch.
And Freya starts crying and she's like, she's so mean.
And again, Freya and acting. I have noticed this when, especially last week with the makeovers, the way that she sold that, you know, she's bringing the mum to the club and, yeah, you know, we're waving to everyone. Just Freya is selling it so well that I just adore what she is putting forward.
She's a trained actor, darling, a trained actor.
Theatre.
A lesbian, if you will.
Vibe is up next and...
Yes.
Look, just because you have one, Michelle, doesn't mean you need to act like one.
Brilliant.
Love that.
It's open for interpretation.
And the way that Vibe's eyes widened and the delivery, I thought, do I need Vibe to play Tim Curry in something? Do I need Vibe to play Dr. Frankenfurter in something? I think I do.
Absolutely. She would do such a good Frank.
I
love that.
Just the way this, her delivery, I went, Tim Curry just rang. And yes, thank you very much.
Yes. But then when she gets slapped by Michelle, only the neck moves. And she comes back with more. She said, you know what?
Reload.
You know what? You do have something in common with a gay man. Mighty limp wrists. Get back in line. Loved it. And then Nikita was up last. Michelle, how could I possibly insult you when Mother Nature's already done it? Michelle just goes, I got two words for you. Snatch game. She really, Nikita just kind of set herself up there, I think.
Really did. I would not be mentioning Mother Nature if I were Nikita.
Not at all.
I thought the two words were going to be microplastics and then... Like, so many options.
Yeah, I was half...
That'd be like me going up to Michelle and being like, get ready to wiggle, bitch. Like, no, don't do that.
Hey, your face looks like a twat waffle.
It does, yeah.
And it really does. Yes, but Freya is the almighty winner of the mini challenge and receives a two-night stay and dinner experience from Hilton Auckland. How fabulous.
Which is obviously where they're staying.
No, they're staying at the Seville. The Seville? Seville.
Oh, I thought for sure, okay, this is the deal. We'll give you some cheap rooms for a couple of weeks and then we'll give you this two-night package and give us a plug on. Okay, they're not staying at the Hilton. This is interesting.
I mean, I can only assume that they stayed at the same accommodation that the season 1, 2, and 3 girls have, but I'll go through and I'll watch the credits and I will let you know via DM.
Thank you.
Oh, true. Yes. Thank you so much.
They'll be at the end of the episode.
See, I don't read the credits. I'm not a good reader of words.
Neither am I, but I know a logo when I see one.
That's it. Exactly.
Yes, well, congratulations to Freya. She's finally won something.
Yes, more than Beverly Kills.
Well, yes. And then Michelle says it's time to continue the act because you're going to be auditioning for the same role in Platypussies on Fire.
And grammatically, I need to say that the plural of platypus is platypi. It's a very small thing.
But then the show would be Platypi on Fi, and that wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't. But every time Michelle's been saying, just between us platypussies, there's some part of my brain that goes, well, it's actually platypi. Every
actually,
time.
I think you'll find, yeah.
I push up my glasses and I say, well, actually.
That is not
under proper inspection. It is not platypussies.
Oh my God, I need you to voice a cartoon.
Yes.
So everyone's been given the same script and they're auditioning for the same role.
And Michelle does say, you will be working with the same script, which to me means we want you to say these words exactly, but make it your own, like change the delivery to make it your own, not change all the words to make it your own.
Well, on your season, it was you guys got split into two groups and you had, what was the fake drag wives of something?
Yeah, so we had like a scripted part, but we also had a non-scripted part.
Yeah, you had to improv.
Like the bits that we spoke to Reese was all improv, but the bits that was like pre-recorded was all scripted. But even then, you could still like put your own little twist on it.
Right. See, I feel like if we did something like that again, we would have a more successful acting challenge. Not specifically the same concept of fake drag wives, because, well, we saw how that went out. But I just feel like them all doing the same character and just watching them all go through that same script. Some of them made it their own, but I just thought, we kind of flopped here. What the fuck happened?
It was a very strange choice.
Yeah, and I think there was like a little bit of a dig made to season 3 in the script, and I'm not fond of that. That's not nice.
This is in my notes, and we will get to that. Don't worry about that.
Word on the street is, supposedly, it was going to be a H2O just add water-themed acting challenge that got thrown out last minute. So that would make sense why there was a water runway and why Michelle mentioned that Matt was in H2O.
Australia's so just, premier comedian, Matt O'Kine. Exactly. I have thoughts on that as well. Don't worry about that. So.
But yeah, so everyone's figuring out what they're going to do, how they're going to make this same character their own.
This was inside the Actors Studio Drag Race edition. They were studying the script.
And in walks Michelle Visage. So I thought, oh, cool, we got some run-throughs. This is great. And then out of fucking nowhere, Hannah Conda is here.
Which I loved.
They didn't tease that in the next time on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Not at all.
And then she never came back.
And said under 100 words. Maybe.
But she made her point. Good for her.
Get that check.
Look, ivory glazed wig. I have all the time in the world for that.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased to see so many ivory wigs this season. It's been so gorge.
We love it.
Probably one of the most outstanding wigs I've seen was Kana Ford's wig.
The twisty circle.
Yeah, the pastry wig. Because she danced so hard in that and it did not move. Mm. And Ivory Glaze, well done indeed.
That shit is like a helmet. They're rock solid.
Oh.
Ivory knows what she's doing. She makes them sturdy.
Mm. And yeah, so Hannah barely speaks.
Yes, I did notice her and Michelle were the same height, both in heels. I was like, Michelle's a tiny lady. I didn't realise how tiny she actually was.
Yes, that's right. I just remembered I have met Hannah Conda. That was a big day. I was like, oh, I've never met. Oh, hang on. Yes, I did. Yes, for that 1 minute. So basically when they run through with Michelle and Hannah, Mandy was going to go the route of a gilf, like an elderly person, and then went, haha, let's flip it. I'm going to be an adult baby instead. Apart from somewhere in the world, John Waters being really thrilled that this is happening, what are your thoughts on this choice, Gab?
I can understand the thought process. However, I personally would have preferred the GILF choice to be made because I think that would have been campus tits. I wasn't getting enough adult baby out of Mandy's adult baby.
And I realised I don't know much about adult babies when I was watching Mandy's footage. I went, I don't know what the joke is here.
I've watched a lot of, like, My Strange Addiction and stuff, and I've seen many an episode of, like, adult baby and people who are into that sort of stuff. I personally don't get it. I'm not going to yuck your yum if that's what you're into. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just didn't find the comedy in it.
Yes.
Fair, very fair.
I thought it was a strong choice, but not one that I could really dig into in terms of comedy. Whereas I think a GILF is somewhat more relatable. So I thought, oh, that might have been a better choice, but also I'm not there and just let them go for it.
I think she made a bold choice deciding to do something that we haven't seen from her before.
Mm. Versatility.
Yeah, it just didn't work out in her favour, which is a real shame because the queens didn't have much to work with in the first place. So,
well, she might have had a couple of jokes. We just didn't really see them.
This is true.
Yeah. And that wig. Can you imagine coming to Drag Race and packing that baby wig?
Did you see my Kylie runway? I have no comments to make.
Fair. So, Freya.
I forgot about that outfit. Rightfully so.
Freya has decided that she's going to be a femme fatale running from the popo because she's stolen too much sugar daddy money.
Yeah.
Which I went...
Great. She gave it a story.
Yeah. And I did believe the character choice when she was in front of the camera. But we'll, again, get to that because some of the choices were 5-star. Vibe basically is going for a prop approach, which I thought great because she's fragile and falling apart. Gab? You're a full-time drag artist. Are you falling apart?
Yes. The feet hurt, the knees hurt, the back hurts. Everything hurts because you're wearing that many layers of tights. You're padding, you're corseting, your countless hours of driving, if you're like myself, into all the regional areas. It's a lot. It takes a lot on the body. So I did appreciate the falling apart, but I thought she was going to put like the mannequin arms up her sleeve and like actually have like the arms fall off or like...
I agree. I thought that's where she was going to.
Something.
And... we get a lovely critique here from Michelle, just telling everyone that louder does not equal funnier, which I thought was a great critique because I've seen people on stage and just because you're the most dominant person on the stage doesn't mean you're the funniest person on the stage.
Correct. You don't need to yell to be heard, especially if you've got a microphone. I've worked with many a diva who yell into a microphone. I'm like, okay, I'll let you in on a secret. They actually amplify sound. You don't need to yell, darling.
What? Who knew?
I love you so much.
Yeah, it's a very good point. It doesn't sink in for a couple of them.
No, but...
I don't think.
I thought the note of volume doesn't control intensity was a great note to give them before they do this challenge. Yeah. And then steps up the next three contestants.
Yes,
Max. Max, Vibe and Nikita.
Max has decided she's going to be her wailing self from a couple weeks prior. Look, it's a choice.
Got to draw on personal experience.
I mean, she knows the character, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where it lands.
Lazy basically is going to be her father's agent, who was Russian. I love this choice. It did give a little bit of Werner Herzog.
I thought the same thing. When she was doing that challenge, I was like, oh my God, this is the Werner Herzog impression that we've been waiting for. Yes, I'm so glad you're using it.
It was a lot of Werner Herzog, I think.
I'm glad that she didn't do Werner Herzog for Snatch Game because then she could use that for this challenge. And also, I ache for Lacey Susan's Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
I love it. Absolutely adore it.
I think it was good. I need to see like a full-length video of it because that Snatch Game was so short. But she's got all the references in there. She's so smart.
When I've worked with Lazy before, she has referenced it. Like, she's filmed the season and it hasn't aired yet, but she's doing bingo kicks with me and she's like, if I ever find myself on Drag Race, I'm going to do Lindsay Lohan Snatch Game. And this is how it would go. Hey, it's me, fucking Lindsay Lohan, and I was in Mean Girls. I love it. And then I throw her questions. I'm like, but Lindsay Lohan had a singing career. What do her songs sound like? Go on.
She couldn't name a one.
No, she could.
Oh, okay.
Daughter to father.
That's so funny.
She was just tying into the pirate-themed promo that you did.
Yeah, that's certainly a promo theme that happened, yeah.
Look, I feel like we need a full debrief of season 3 with you. We'll have to break it up into, like, 3 parts. It can be the Labucci trilogy.
Okay.
Yes, episode 1, going through it all. Episode 2, breaking it down. Episode 3, bringing in a therapist.
No, episode 3, list of theft.
Yes. List of theft.
List of episode 4, getting arrested.
Fun times. I love it. New Zealand customs on the way out of town. Whoops. No.
And Nikita?
Is a crazy auntie recovering from addiction. Fun.
No.
He sounds like a hoot.
I
definitely agreed with Michelle's
reaction.
I can understand why Nikita would go that reference. Like, it's definitely a character that's been portrayed in pop culture referencing often, many a time. Mm-hmm. But I also think that as a society, we need to take things as addiction, as people that need help, and not poke fun of them.
Agreed. Well said.
And before the chaos begins with the challenge, I just wanted to give a little shout out to whoever is working camera B, because we get this lovely shot of a mirror with Freya's reflection and she's like still and preparing and getting in character. And I thought Peter Jackson just popped in and got this beautiful like focus pull. Like every now and then they really impress me with one of these random camera shots. And I'm like, can we get a touch, like 10% more of this, please?
Less of the shaky ones in Untucked.
Drives me mad.
Famously Gab listens.
Drives me fucking mad, I tell you.
Yeah.
As I've watched it, I'm going, why are we fucking on a boat? What's happening? Why are we shaking?
Is this the Bourne legacy? What the fuck?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're all born naked and the rest is drag.
And the rest is an ultimatum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, there are some moments with the camera which have been beautiful.
And then there's others.
Well, most notably, Amel doing her makeup in episode one. From the
I love the fisheye lens through the mirror. I think that's the most beautiful thing ever. I wanted Amel to make t-shirts.
Yeah, right? They were filming from the backside of the mirror, looking into the workroom, and they had just used a fisheye lens, and she's like leaning in, doing her eyes or something.
Oh, no.
So it's like a fisheye from right here. It's so good. I was like, whoever did that, thank you so much for keeping that in.
Okay.
They were all on GoPros, those ones.
Or just running the whole time.
Yeah, so behind the mirrors, sorry, we're going back into season three. Gossip.
That's okay.
Behind each of the individual mirrors, they had GoPros, except for the third mirror along, my mirror, which had like a proper actual camera because that's the one that's just like a good camera to get like the shot of all the girls on the couch.
They filmed through the archway window.
The square hole.
Yes.
I have one of those.
Okay.
But
the challenge begins.
Challenge begins. We're walking out onto the runway, which has stunningly got a new purple cloth for a wall.
It is budget. And this is why they're auditioning for the role and they're not doing an actual production, because they would need to build a set for that.
All the money went to Bunnings for the Snatch Game. You can only afford so much bamboo fencing before you run out of budget.
Yes.
Well, there's a minor tent around the corner from the studio. So.
Handy.
That is true. That's
handy. Now, this whole challenge. Sorry, I said whole again. I've triggered Mandy. This challenge in general. I was watching this with a friend of mine who had never, ever seen a single episode of Drag Race. This was their first time as a straight man watching Drag Race. And I just kept thinking, this is chaos. This is, I really just didn't know how to explain it. And it falls perfectly under the category of try and explain this to straight people. Like, wow.
Why? Why explain it to the straights? Let us have our own thing for once.
You've got a very good point. And shout out to Matt O'Kine. It just.
Oh, no, I snorted.
Yes, the chaos begins. I'm not even going to imagine explaining that to a straight person.
No, it was so hard. And the look on his face when something else weird would start to happen and something else weird would start to happen. And it was like his eyes just got wider and wider. And I was like, you're going to turn into Emma Stone in a minute.
Well, yes. But one thing I noticed when it did start, Freya walked in. And she was already in character.
Absolutely.
I thought, here's the acting experience. Great. This is going to go well for her.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of notes here. Do you want to run us through sort of?
Well, the edit follows the script. So there's not like.
It was non-linear in terms
of
the drag queens performing. Is that the way to put
it? Auditioning.
Auditioning. Sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So look, this is such a bizarre challenge. So basically, should we just run through them each queen, because it's too complicated otherwise. Like following this script was, my goodness, like
it was like the reading challenge, just backwards and forwards through all the fucking queens, and they couldn't. Yeah,
yeah.
It was like watching Matrix 3 without watching 1 and 2.
Mm.
I was like, what is happening? So Freya, great character intensity. I thought the character choices were fantastic. I think the joke about when, don't you love it when I do this with my body?
Corpse on the ground.
Screamed.
That is my new favourite reaction video to anything that inconveniences me. I will just send them Freya passing out. It was genius. It was a bold move. I thought it was good. She was funny.
And when everyone is so hyper and being very sexualized with that line, and she just drops to the ground with that dead eye and is still,
fucking
that
beautiful.
Stillness, like this was by far the best audition, in
Absolutely.
My opinion.
Definitely something that I would have done if I was in that situation. It wouldn't have gone the sexual route. It would have just been something fucking stupid to take the piss. Because I know all the other girls be like, oh, this is meant to be sexual, so let's do sexual. And I'd be like, no, be fucking camp. Be a dickhead. Have fun with it.
I think she did really well and her experience really showed. And rather proud of her for how she did in the challenge.
Yes, I thought her ha 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 was fantastic with the ha.
Yeah.
Ha. Like, mwah. Freya, you are divine.
Divine.
Yeah, Vibe was up next. Okay, what did you think of Vibe?
She did take a different direction than I thought she was going to with the props. I don't necessarily think that they paid out in her favor. I will say I loved the placement of her eyelashes, though. I thought she looked really funny. And there were certain moments, like she would look and then like look
the
away.
The triple
and look
take.
Back. I thought that was really silly. I didn't know what was going on, though. But like she did a fine job. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just wasn't compared to others.
I think she did a really good job. She left her mark on the director's table, I guess. And she had some good moments, but they weren't part of the actual script, like when they were running through the scene. You know, when Reese is going, you know, what are your skills or your advantages? She's like, I think I'm a foot above the rest of the competition with the fake leg in her hand. That was good. But I think, yeah, she focused way too much on meeting the script, and it didn't work in her favour.
If only they could be flexible with the script.
I think just a suggestion. I mean, as long as you're following the general basis of the script, I find it's probably okay.
Yes, yes. And Max comes out next, and she finds out what a slate is, which I thought was adorable, considering she's in week 6 of a competition. And I'm like, don't they have slates, like, before each shot?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I that was one of the questions I thought I have to check with you because wouldn't a slate happen like every minute?
I really can't remember. I think they just say the time and date and then clap.
Okay.
Well, that's a slate.
That could be wrong.
In a way. I would say that Max seems to be in it like character-wise, but they keep giving her the cricket sound effect.
Yeah, obviously there's like a little bit of a shady edit there. I do think... I mean, you've got to do something, got to do what you got to do to eliminate people. That's just the way that the show works. But I didn't think Max did a bad job. I think there just could have been a few more like peaks and valleys in terms of that character. It fit around the same energy the whole way through.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought her makeup was like the...
fantastic.
Fantastic. And when she goes, a pit crew with the splits. I thought that was a great moment. Every now and then we just need a sad fuck to cheer us up.
Pit crew, come on now. No, I think she did good. The editing was definitely shady. I noticed they've placed the cameras in a certain way where you don't see Reese's face when we see them. So they're just cutting to his reactions and they can put in whatever they want to help justify their critiques. And I thought, I know that's the like point of this type of competition is it's going to be produced to a large extent, but... It just felt obvious in this episode, and I was like, oh, no.
Well, the best thing about great editing is that you don't notice it.
I noticed this, though.
And that's why I probably feel like it's not one of the best edited episodes of this season.
You are watching Drag Race Down Under, though. Just remember that. Mm-hmm. Is editing ever going to be a strong suit?
That's true, but also we've had episodes 1 through 5, and I thought they were well done.
In terms of episodes, if we're rating them, this is probably...
My least favourite.
One of my least favourite episodes of the season.
That's not to do with the talent.
No, it's not.
It's to do with production.
Yes, and okay, so Lazy is up next. Lazy the Tuck Shop Lady.
Remember this, Tradie and the Tuck Shop Lady?
Love it that she went from the Russian accent to a thick Aussie Ocker accent.
And then
threw in a little flash of like a Spanish or something. Oh, Spanish is my second language.
Mi amor, yeah.
It's like she just forgot what accent.
On her own fucking planet.
And then Werner Herzog came out too. I think Lazy is just fucking insane. And we all can agree that she nailed it. She took the script, made it her own, got a bit actual crazy with it. And it was brilliant.
I was concerned watching it because, again, my understanding of how Michelle described the challenge, I thought part of the challenge was sticking with the script. And I went, well, Lazy, you can't win every week, turns out. So she heads off to TAFE for lamp making. And as a lamp maker myself, rude.
Are you actually a lamp maker?
He makes lamps. Yeah, I was laughing.
That's hilarious. I love that for you.
Look, I will send you photos of some of my Doctor Who lamps I've made and you will love them, I guarantee it.
Do you not feel like you've just been represented in mainstream media?
No.
There's only one thing left to do. Go to TAFE for lamp making.
But also, who goes to TAFE for lamp making? My goodness, I just learnt how to do it over bottles of wine.
There you go.
I like to call it my drinking hobby. Thank you. So Nikita is up next. And look, she's riding a horse. She's doing some vocal exercises. She has a montage of the word moist. She is dry humping everything in sight. I've not encountered many recovering addicts that have that problem. But the main thing is she feels like Meryl Streep at the end of it, and she exits perfectly with this awkward, like, we'll call you. Okay, thanks. Oh, no, I'll call you.
Leave the titties here. No, you don't have to.
Yeah. The bouncing boobs. Yeah, I thought it was great. Unhinged.
I didn't like that any of this recovering addict character that we heard we were going to be getting. It was just sort of a disheveled woman. Mm. And also I kind of think a little bit like vibe as well. There was just like the relying on that crutch of the prop, which was the hair and the boob, which I don't think necessarily added to the situation. Those boobs were definitely doing a lot of the work in that scenario, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think at one point she also like was a dog with worms on the carpet and just like dragged her ass across.
Oh, did a little boot scooting, yeah.
It was a very interesting take from Nikita, I will say that. Do I think she was placed correctly? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I.
Hey, look, it's not her strong suit.
And as Reese said, there were moments in between the script where it was really funny, and like that exit moment I thought was really funny. Like, behind Freya's collapse into the ground like a corpse, Nikita's exit was actually one of the funniest moments, but not in the script whatsoever.
That's one of my favourite kinds of humour. Like, the people who just are so funny because they're just so confident and comfortable with who they are as a person that they don't realise that the things that they're doing are actually quite humorous. Like, that's really good. That's a talent in itself. If only that could have been, like, channeled into the challenge, it would have been much more successful, I feel.
Yes. And Mandy.
Who can almost count to five now.
Almost.
Look, growing and learning. I did notice the baby bottle that she had was filled with a piss-coloured liquid, which was actually Red Bull. But I thought, that's got to be a kink reference, surely.
She's wearing a diaper. How on earth can this be a kink reference?
I thought it was cute. I think the shady edit came into play with this one.
Yeah, we did get the least amount of footage with Mandy. But I'm guessing that the adult baby jokes may have pushed it over the censor line to a degree or something. Yeah, the creative choices probably didn't help the amount of footage that we actually got in the episode.
Justice for the Gilf, I say.
Bring her back.
Yes.
Bring Gilfs back.
Yeah, Mandy, if you're listening, please release your Gilf character. We want to see it.
Yes, absolutely. She's
locked in a basement somewhere. Let her out. The sporty's basement. That's where the Gilf lives.
Somebody contact Boot & Co.
Yeah.
Now, okay, in Mandy's section, we hear the line that things have gotten so bad for this too much that they even auditioned for season 3 of Drag Race Down Under.
Okay.
Yeah, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Pull up.
I have thoughts. I'll let you go first, Gab.
Are we not meant to be celebrating the fact that we even have a Drag Race Down Under? I don't understand why I feel like we're being personally attacked for season 3. I mean, if we're going to attack a season, season 1 is right there.
Well, yes.
We had dogs. We had bikes. You know, what do you want from me?
Well, okay, here's my thought about season 3, Gab, because it does get a lot of shade. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a theory that when RuPaul was on Graham Norton and said Down Under Drag is a little ratchet, I felt like production that were working on season 3 went, guys, this is our moment. We've worked out what our shtick is and what our niche is. We're the ratchet season. And so I don't think you were really set up to succeed. With the BMX challenge, with the dog makeover challenge, it seemed like you had, as a season of Queens, you had to jump through more hoops and then get on a bike and jump through that hoop again.
And it didn't even make the full edit. There was one scene where they had myself, Isis, and Hollywood all together piled on one fucking bike, going down that runway on the one bike together. Then I dive off into a somersault. Isis does a cartwheel. None of it made the edit.
Hateful. This is hateful.
I had a giant bruise on my elbow because I like slammed my elbow into the stage when I dived into a fucking somersault. And I remember one of the producers said, you don't need to be a hero, Gab. Because I was like trying to give the absolute most. And my instant response was, this is Drag Race. I'm willing to break a fucking bone right now. Don't tell me. Let's go. Let's do it.
I thought, don't tell me you dove off the bike and you hit the gas can.
No, the gas can, because, you know, gas famously goes into the bike.
It's just, there were so many choices in season 3 that I thought, this isn't about the queens. This is the back end. This is admin. Something's gone terribly wrong. And then I heard the Graham Norton quote and I went, maybe that's it.
That's the moment.
It could be. The thing that, like, really irked me the most bit, like, I love my season. I love it so much. Although it had many a flaw, I'm so thankful that I was part of it. I loved everything.
It was just one flaw, I thought.
You have to give photos of all of your outfits before you go for approval. So they knew that there would have been potentially 3 green fairies, 2 of those pink and white checks. Like, if you don't want there to be repeats, would you not just say, hey, let us know in advance what you're making, and then if someone else has already claimed it, we'll tell you to make something else?
Yeah. So I don't think the shade on season three should be pointed at the Queens at all. It goes to the back end, its production. Just in my opinion.
Yes, but also at the same time, I'm still appreciative that production do what they do because they constantly try to elevate and constantly try new things and they want to keep the thing succeeding. And it's unfortunate that that's just what we tried for our season. Did it work? Not particularly. But you know what? They've hit the mark this season and that's fantastic.
Absolutely. I feel like there has been a pivot in what they are presenting and I love where they're going with it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't want to shit talk production too much because, like, I appreciate everything, but, like, I know that there's flaws, but, like, you know.
And I know that they're trying their best, but I just felt like I didn't appreciate the dig at season three. I think the Queens in season three were phenomenal and should be uplifted at any opportunity. And that's why you're joining us here today, you fabulous bitch.
It's a new day in the workroom. Yay!
Yay.
No more acting challenge. That was crazy.
We do have Cherub Watch.
Cherub Watch. One is in a bow and a headband from Max's makeover look and the other still has a bracelet.
Was out of frame. I didn't actually catch it.
It's just the bracelet, but I've got no idea what's on its head. Oh. I asked Mandy, friend of the show, famously, but not even she had any idea what was on its head.
Again, they're so focused on the competition, they don't even know what the cherubs are wearing.
Something's up. Something's up.
Cherub dressing was like top tier priority for me. The second that I had any downtime, I was like, what am I dressing up the cherubs in?
I love that.
I love it. Well,
so yeah, everyone's sort of breaking down their thoughts and feelings after doing the audition. Vibe is really in the shit. She's wearing all black. She's in mourning, I think. She just sat there and thought about the pros and the cons of her performance and really is not happy with how it went for her.
And she warned us in a previous episode, if I ever get quiet, something's wrong. And she is quiet at the moment. And I went, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? They didn't get to see each other's performances, so they don't really know how they did in terms of everyone. That would be nerve-wracking, I assume, because I know with the Snatch Game, one team was on stage, the other team was watching. So, man, this...
I think it's good that they didn't get to watch each other's, though, because if they're trying to deliver the same script, it's like you wouldn't want to draw influence from one another. So it's good that they went in one by one and they got to deliver what they wanted to deliver and not try and compare each other to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Max thinks that she gave it her all, and I do agree with that. She left it all on stage because it was the actual stage. But
Well,
look, they've got two rooms. Where else are they going to film it? And Nikita is still feeling great, and I will remind everyone about the drag delusion that everyone voted for. But I think if you are proud of what you did, then that's a win.
Absolutely, especially in Drag Race. You just need to go into everything like so delusionally confident and just think everything you've done is the absolute fucking tits because it very well could be or it might not be, but you don't know what the edit's going to do. So you just fucking hope that it is and go with that.
True.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah, it's time to get into drag, I think.
Oh, and this is another emotional moment because Vibe is really feeling it. But I think part of being a performer... And we are a small factor in the entertainment scene, Callum.
We're in queer media, yes.
Yes, we are. And we hold space for that. But because we're idiots. Being a performer, part of that means that you do have to go out and deliver a great show, even if you are feeling shitty. And look, we've seen it in a previous episode when Max was going through it and just locked the fuck in during that lip sync. So it's incredibly doable.
Yeah.
But it must be so taxing.
It absolutely is, especially like in that environment where you're so drained, you're so exhausted and all emotions are heightened. You don't have your support network. It's so hard, but you just have to push through and give it 110%. Even though you've got 10% to give, you give 110.
That's our gab.
Yes, and hope that the weekend is around the corner so you can sleep for 2 days in your hotel room.
Absolutely not. We do not get a weekend.
How many days does it take to film a season?
Like 3.5 weeks and I got 2 days off.
This is fascinating.
That's important information.
Are you still...
Well, an episode is filmed over 2 days.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they squeeze the promo in there as well. And then, yeah, we got 1 day off where they split us into two groups and then we had 1 day off that was with the top four.
So you film Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, my word.
Get that shit done, I guess.
That... Okay. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Thank you so much for that information because it does weigh on my mind.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say that? Are you? You're not under a contract still, are you?
I don't know. I didn't read the contract. I just signed it.
Well, we'll find out soon. Lazy has a very special moment
yes.
in the workroom when they're getting ready, talking about her mum. And it was 2020. She said they were, well, everyone was coming off the back of COVID or in the middle of it. And she was in a complete other world because her mum was sick with cancer. And I just, this is so emotional because we've had, you know, Max's story with her mum. Now to hear from Lazy as well. And then she put on her Instagram a video of her parents that was in her audition tape for Drag Race US many years ago, where it's her mum and her dad saying, take Lazy, put her on the show.
And the best thing you'll ever see. You got to take it.
It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I just thought,
I haven't seen that.
Who was this fabulous woman that brought Lazy into this world? Yeah, it was quite a beautiful moment.
And I just thought Lazy's mum just wanted the world to know how amazingly talented her child is. Don't fucking waste time. Get out there and do the thing that you love to do.
It was very fun hearing that on the show because I've, again, worked with Lazy a couple of times and she does bingos with me. I don't necessarily think she loves doing bingo, but she loves having a shit talk with me. And she always says, you know, I just love doing things in drag that I just get joy out of. And that's very much so her drag career is her just doing things that she really fucking loves and she just gets a kick out of. And it's good to hear that on the show and just see it.
It's time for the runway, everyone. We've got an Inter Drag. Isis and Reese are on the panel as always, and we are joined by extra special guest judge Matt O'Kine. Wow.
The infamous Matt O'Kine. Love him. Love his work. Know all of the thing he did.
And I do, now that I have looked him up, I thought, okay, you did Triple J Breakfast and, you know, you're in this show and you've done that. Okay, great. I haven't watched any of the new Mothers and Son series, so I wasn't aware of him. But
I don't necessarily hate when it's someone I don't know if they have a connection to the drag community or the queer community. So I think it was a very odd choice for someone I don't know. I'm assuming that a lot of people won't know who this man is. I think it's just an odd choice if he's not part of the queer community or the drag community. Like, the only connection to the episode is, oh, you're an actor and it's an acting challenge.
Yeah, and I'm so glad he was there to give feedback during the auditions.
And to critique the runways, which he's qualified to do.
At one point, my husband and I just looked at each other and went, who the fuck are you?
Well, yeah.
But anyway.
Well, tonight's category is Liquid Dreams. And speaking of critiquing runways, we're about to do it. Up first is Vibe.
Yes.
Her choice of liquid is like an oil slick. I thought it was okay. I felt like it was missing something. And for me, if I were to, not that I do drag, oil slick having just the solid black is an interesting choice when you can play into the, like, the rainbow effects that you get in an oil slick. You know, that sort of thing when it mixes with water and I don't know. I just wanted something more, maybe bigger hair. It felt unfinished.
Gab, your thoughts?
Well, much like the rest of this season foreshadowing things, I was like, Lady Gaga disease? Hello? Is that what we're getting a reference to here? No, we weren't because it wasn't released at that point in time. However, we can pretend that that's what the reference was.
Very that. So did you like it or?
I didn't hate it.
Same.
I think that it fit the brief and I didn't hate it.
It met the Liquid Dreams category. It was a liquid.
And I did think it was showing versatility.
Yes.
Which is very important to show on the runway. And I love the love vibe and black hair. I thought that was great. I love the sculpted. I didn't really know what it was made out of, this bodice that I thought, ooh, this is, I like this. There's something about it that I really enjoy. And look, if anything, I did think maybe the bits coming off her wrists could have been like tenfold, you know. You could have had more flowing seaweedy bits coming off you. I don't know what it was.
I thought the Ookie Spooky Lagoon sort of vibe was good, but I just wanted something more. I felt it was missing something. And especially in comparison to Lazy, who came out next.
Okay.
Which was just fucking insane. So First of all, who the fuck thinks, oh yeah, I'll just turn a beehive wig into a functioning spraying tap? What? And then the ink. And that I don't know how this woman's brain works, but it was so incredible. I only wish that she got more wet.
I know.
That was the one thing I would have changed, is just fucking dunk yourself with a bucket and let us see the dress come to life in full colour.
I do love that in the Untucked, though, they gave the dress a little bit of an extra moment where the girls are throwing drinks at the dress, so the dress really got its time to shine.
That was good. That was good. But, yeah, this was genius. Lazy smashed it out of the park, and I thought, okay, she's winning this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote down notes for all of the girls as they were walking down the runway, and the note that I've literally just written for Lazy is, fuck all the way off.
Well said.
That's all I've written, because I knew this one was coming. She'd shown me this fabric and the work going into it and the testing of all this fabric shit. But to see it actually come to fruition is insane. I wish I had the know-how and the skills that this woman has, because I have a lot of stupid ideas, but I do not have the skills or the resources to make them come to life. She's actually quite a camp little artist. She does all these little doodles and etchings and stuff. Like, if you've got the pin merchandise that she has, like, she designed all the artwork and everything herself. And she definitely just, like, quickly doodled up all these little faces to put on the fabric and then painted it all. And, yeah, it was definitely done in 3 weeks. I think it was, like, the hologram face thing. She's like, oh, I had this idea, and I was like, one day I'll have an excuse to buy that fan. And I think this is the exact same situation here. It's like, one day I'll have an excuse to use that paint that dries clear. And
wow.
This is it.
I'm so impressed. Nikita is stomping the runway in a beautiful legacy dress. She has an incredible hair headband that I feel like the sculpture got a little bit squashed in the pack.
She didn't get ivory to make it.
No, that was not an ivory glaze wig.
No, she was unconscious that episode. I thought it's a shame that it got a little bit crushed, because I went, oh, you could straighten that wire. As a pro lamper myself, I did notice that pretty quickly. But other than that, great. Looked beautiful. Dress was beautiful. I love the concept of the umbrella hair.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty dress. I liked it, but I just want more. After, like, especially after having Lazy, it's hard to be excited about Nikita's runway. It looked nice. It was fine. I just wasn't, wow, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Gab. I wish there was more attention to detail with the wig, because, as you said, like, it looked a bit crushed, but I even noticed some of the sections where it was doing the brim of the umbrella, they just weren't the same length. So maybe if you had more of those, like, gems that were acting as water to just cover that up a bit or something. The dress was nice. It had texture, which I thought made it interesting. But, I mean, you're on Drag Race, and I feel like there's constantly the critique given to these girls that you need to elevate and basically sell the shit out of your garment. And I didn't get that this week from Nikita, when last week we saw her makeover look. We saw...
She sold it.
She sold the fuck out of that. It looked incredible. To then this week have what she presented, I thought, oh, this isn't Nikita's week. I wanted more from that.
And it's at least I feel like it teamed with the theme. It, like, it did get the brief of the liquid, like, theme.
Yeah, Michelle said she didn't get liquid dreams from that. I just thought, shut up. You can see there's water from the umbrella.
And it's blue. You know, it's beautiful frock, but on...
Beautiful gowns.
Yeah, but on Drag Race, it does need a level of elevation.
Yeah.
Just cut the boobs out of it. I hear that's really good on the Drag Race runway.
Well, I...
Yes, and with glitter pasties.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Leave the nipples out. Ashley Madison would like a word.
As Kylie Minogue once said, better than nipple, you know.
Yeah, well...
Well,
to quote a wise person from season 3.
Up next, Mandy Moobs.
Mandy Moobs with a puddle illusion moo moo fantasy.
I loved this. I don't give a shit what anyone says. I've never seen Mandy in a wet hair look, so I loved that.
I loved it.
And when you're given the category of liquid dreams, come as the entire fucking puddle. Yes. She made it old Hollywood. She looked hot. I don't give a shit that we saw her undergarments.
No.
It was glamorous, and I loved it.
At least it wasn't a black panty.
I love a black panty. How dare you? Black panty is quintessential Australian drag. The fact that Faux got red so hardly for a black panty, that's because the Americans don't do that. They want to look like fucking Barbie dolls underneath their drag and just have, like, the nude beige panty. But no, I love a black panty, because then people will be like, oh, you've got panties on.
Hey!
I can see them. You're wearing panties.
No, I hate the word panties.
Sorry.
No, I've got to say it for this, because it sounds weird saying I can see their underpants.
They're bloomers.
They're bloomers, I tell you.
I'm wet, much like Mandy's runaway.
I like how she bounced the middle of the puddle as well, walking down the runway.
Yeah. Mm. And you can see the shimmer from the different fabrics that she had included in it. texture.
Yes.
It was great.
For a split second, I was like, is she going some sort of weird alien route because the pulsing of the middle of the puddle was coming? And I went, where's this? She's a puddle. Okay, great.
Because we didn't have the arms out initially, I did think it was going to be a reveal. And I was like, when's it coming off, Mandy? When's it coming off? Where are we going with this? Oh, that's it. Okay. It's nice. I was glad that we had a different silhouette from Mandy as well. Like, I love that she's given us lots of gowns, beautiful gowns, but now we were getting something different. Not my favourite, if I'm honest, but that's just my personal preference.
And that's okay.
That is okay. We're allowed to have differences of opinions. I think it looked beautiful and it was beautifully constructed. I just didn't love it. I do think it fit the brief, though.
Absolutely, it fit the brief. And again, showing versatility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something new from Mandy.
Love the hair.
Up next, Freya Armani as ancient water spirit. For me, if it needs to be explained, it doesn't translate. I didn't get liquid dreams from this, but I thought it was okay. Might have swallowed her a little bit. And I wish that we got to see the detail in the back of the wig more. There was like, I don't know, was it spines or wispy sort of something? But we didn't really get that. It looked pretty, but I didn't get liquid dreams.
No, nor did I. I didn't really get the storyline of this one, and I was like, oh, is this another, like, what was the episode where she had, like, the fucking tree thing going on
the
her
sheer
head?
Runway.
She's the forest nymph type thing.
I think if Freya had a stronger runway this week, it could have very well been her win.
Yes.
100% agree with you. And I think Freya is going for a conceptual idea with the wood nymph sheer runway with this ancient water spirit. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I like these ideas, but I don't think the execution is necessarily landing how she wants them to.
Yeah, it's so hard with referencing because you just don't know who's going to understand what your point of reference is unless it's like blatantly obvious in pop culture referencing. It can always be misconstrued and it's so hard.
But Pebble looks good on her.
And you've mentioned before the orange blush that she wears.
Yeah.
Holy shit, did I notice that.
It's really like yellow or orange she always wears instead of a peachy or a rose type blush. Works so well on her skin tone.
She's so beautiful.
And fuck her for that. And speaking of fucking Freya, Max Drag Queen is up next. Her cum's never looked better. She's like this glam. I'm getting a sort of Marilyn Monroe type cum.
As Yuri Guy would say.
Cum, yes. You know, I never normally swallow, but hi, Max. It was good. I thought she looked glamorous.
I'm just going to Taylor Swift myself out of this chair.
God. Yeah, I definitely do think that Max looked beautiful. The face was beautiful. I really loved that, like, fringe detail that went across the face. Yes. I thought that was really good for the wet vibe. A lot of the girls, even the ones who are no longer in the competition, like Brenda, for instance, have used these little crystals to, like, give that water illusion on the cozzies. I want more wet. I want more wet. I just wanted Max to be fucking wet.
Yeah. I don't know if it showed on camera very well, but she also like covered herself in glitter so that her whole body looked moist.
It was so hard with the cameras in that fucking studio because you have no idea what's going to translate well or not well on the stage. Like I know Isis had stoned so much of her runway packet from my season. It doesn't show very well.
Right.
Yeah, I think I only noticed when they were giving critiques that Max had actually like covered herself in the silver glitter to have that wet shine look. It was gorgeous.
I thought she looked wet, sexy, and expensive. Was it a failure on the runway? No. I thought it fit the brief. I thought she did a good job. I thought she looked great.
It was one of my favourites.
Shout out to Cum. Cum!
Cum!
Cum! Yes. Well, it's time for the...
Well, before we dive into the critiques, can I... Because... And this is about the judging panel. Miss Labucci.
Yes.
You were one person away from being the guest judge this season.
Yes.
And I would like to ask how you think you would have gone as the guest judge in a hypothetical world.
I would have thrived in the opportunity. I would have spent a lot of money to look really fucking good and shown the world that now that I've done the show, I can elevate and I have elevated and... I would love to show the world some more. I think I would have had quite a lot of constructive criticism to give the girls, but I think Isis is doing a bang-up job. She looked phenomenal tonight on this week's episode. Look, no hard feelings. Hopefully I just get to come back and play along next time.
Right. And that being said, you did get a lot of critiques in your season. Other queens would have crumbled and you got to work.
Yes. I definitely went into the competition with a very strong sense of self, but also the mindset of I'm willing to throw everything I know about myself out the door to give these people what they want, because that's, we're here to play a game. If you want something, I'll give it to you. Just tell me what you want and I'll do it.
Yeah, and I think kudos to you, because it was very clear you were working hard. You were really working hard, and did it pay off? Like, good job. Great job. And yeah, I just wanted to throw that in before we start yelling at the judges' decisions this week.
Please, let's start yelling.
Okay. Callum?
I don't have any notes on the critiques, and I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I did love Reese's and Michelle's reaction to the guest judge actually like having an opinion. And I was mixed reactions, because sometimes I think if the guest judge isn't going to contribute anything, why are they even there? You may as well just put in a pit crew member. After the shock of him actually having an opinion, he turns around and says to them, well, do you want my opinion or not? To which I thought,
no.
We know Hannah Condor is in the building. No, we at this moment in time, absolutely fucking not do we want your opinion. Get Hannah Condor in this chair.
Yes.
Yeah. I have been loving that we've been having some of the alumni on the judging panel, because not only are they people who work in the field, they're people who have been through this machine of Drag Race before. They know what these divas are experiencing and can relate to what they're going through, which I think is a very useful tool when it would come to critiquing these girls. I'm sure he's a lovely person. I'm sure he's great in his field. I just don't think he's relevant to what we're doing here.
This is when basically we hear that, you know, the Drag Race scripts are not Shakespeare, shock horror, and you can just basically change them and swap them out and make them your own. And I went, I felt like that was a different criteria, and are we just swaying this for lazy?
Well, yes and no. Like, yes, you have strong structure in a script, and I think if you're going to deliver the script but, like, change the wording slightly but you're still getting the same narrative, I think it's okay, but at the end of the day, it's a script. You should try and honour it. I guess much like a makeover challenge, they can just change their critiques to suit whatever they're trying to do in that episode.
We get a little bit of an Untucked, and everyone seems to just sort of sit down and go, what the fuck just happened? Which is how I felt watching that episode. So I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's so confusing, especially because those girls wouldn't, like, they didn't get the chance to see each other's performance. It would have been really confusing. Like, when we did BMX Bitches on my season, we didn't get to see the other team perform, so we had no idea what had happened. We didn't know who was going to be top or bottom.
Nikita is just, if she has to lip sync, she's fine with that, because she's proud of what she has put forward. She is proud that she has stepped out of her comfort zone. Gab, were you proud of yourself for being sexy on the runway? Because that seemed like out of your comfort zone at one stage.
I just don't see why drag needs to be sexy, especially in the world that we live in where they're like, drag is sexualizing children, blah, blah, blah. I don't do drag to feel sexy, but in that moment I lied and said I felt sexy.
Okay.
Gotta be a bit silly.
And you looked great.
The conversation was relevant. Like, I don't necessarily to this day find myself sexy out of drag, but that's, like, not relevant to my career. I don't do drag to feel sexy. It was a very interesting and confusing time in my life.
Well, look, the sexiest ketchup bottle I've ever seen on a runway.
And on my fridge.
Yeah, shamelessly plug that merchandise. You can buy my bottle magnet.
Gabriella Labucci merchandise. She's got fridge magnets where it's her in, like, she's in her drag basics, and then you've got different bits of the outfits to mix and match. Dress up, Gab, and, you know, sometimes I'll go to the fridge in the garage and Mum's put you in a new outfit and it's adorable.
Lazy Susan also has the dress up magnets.
Love that. Oh, I'll need to get a set. Mm. And you've got more merch coming down the line, don't you?
I do. I have a new line of T-shirts and Clack fans that are either released now by the time this is made the air or soon to be released. So,
well, be sure to check the show notes. We'll pop down the link to the Gabriella Labucci merch store. Mm. Very exciting. But yes, so no one really knows what's happening.
No, but Matt really thinks Nikita isn't. I'm like, bitch, have you seen this show before? Please tell me that you've watched at least one episode. But anyway, I keep ranting.
Anyways, we are back on the main stage. So Freya is declared safe. She was in the top. Good for her.
Yep.
And Lazy Susan wins the challenge. I think that's rightfully so. Well done, Lazy. Fantastic work. Look, for someone who's never placed below safe and she's got 3 wins under her belt, that's phenomenal. Maddie is safe. And that left Vibe, Nikita and Max all in the bottom, with Nikita and Max in the bottom too. They're lip syncing to Talking Body by Tuve Lu.
Love
great song.
Yeah, it is a good song. Nothing to do with Down Under.
No, not at all.
No, which I think it's so strange that they love to support Australian music until the last couple of episodes, like yours. What was it?
Walking on Broken Glass.
Yep.
Which is who? Annie Lennox?
Now, I thought Max had this lip sync up until the dreaded nipples popped out at the end.
I thought the same thing. The second that the nipples popped out, I was like, oh my God, the curse of Ashley Madison. There is no pasty here.
Yeah.
I'm seeing nipple and then another shot of nipple and then another shot of nipple.
But first, let's redesign a pasty.
Yes, absolutely. If you're going to have your nipples out, make sure you put little rhinestones all over them, a la Gabriella Labucci, episode 4 of season 3.
I wasn't sure if the nipples were going to matter because nothing fucking mattered this episode. But I was fully expecting to be talking to Nikita. And when I'd watched the episode on Wednesday when we got our screener, I thought, okay, I guess we're talking to Nikita tomorrow. We'll wait and see.
I started researching the ballroom scene in Sydney and all this stuff. Yeah,
and then I got the email the next morning saying that we're talking to Max, and I went, shit, it mattered. Their nipples mattered. And maybe it's because she didn't do a clit on stage. That's a cartwheel split, thank you. Or I just don't know. And I was like, that's another one that I really liked that's gone.
I thought Max was going to be in the final for sure. And nothing against Nikita.
I very much appreciate every single person in this cast. Mm. If someone's going to disappear. And that just, I'm not ready for the next 2 weeks because Brisbane is 40% of our finalists. The chances of them going home are ever increasing, and I don't like it.
I know.
But yeah, it was sad to see Max go. I was cut by that.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a case of third time and you're out sort of situation, because that was Max's third time lip syncing. And the second that she was in the bottom, unfortunately, my brain went, yeah, Max is gone. However, they're intentionally going to get rid of her because they will probably put her on a global all-stars versus the world, because she's such a fucking incredible performer. You put her doing her fucking clits, as you just said, with any of the dancing divas from around the world, and she will eat them up.
And dancing diva she is not. When we spoke to her, she said, like, she's kind of offended when she's called that because she has no dance experience. She did gymnastics when she was 12, and that was it. I thought, fuck you.
She's not a dancing diva. She's a diva that dances.
Diva that knows how to dance.
I love that line.
But, yeah, Max left such a brilliant, brilliant impression on me. I cannot wait to follow what she does next. I mean, it's so exciting that we get to be introduced to some of these queens that we have no idea about. And our chat with Max is up on our feeds now if you want to go and listen to that. But,
One main thing that I didn't realise until Max was saying her goodbyes, when she said, I've made my mum proud, and she pointed to Isis, I went, Isis just had to eliminate her own drag daughter.
And this is why I think she went home this time, because the second time she lip-synced, Isis wasn't there.
No.
I think they wanted to send her home in front of Isis.
Yeah. To be fair, when I found out that Max was on the cast and that Isis was going to be one of the judges, I was like, oh, is this a little bit conflict of interest? Is that like a situation here that's happened? But I think they have done it quite respectfully and fairly. So
So Max leaves with a rather niche exit line, and I don't know if you picked up on what this reference is. I don't think you will have.
Please tell me.
Max says, well, I'm furious, which is a famous video from the one and only Wigs by Vanity.
I'm aware of Vanity.
I don't know what she was ranting about. Do you know, Gab?
Vanity's always ranting. What are you talking about?
Another week of Drag Race done.
I know. And have you seen the eliminated queens posting their Liquid Dreams runway?
Love Brenda's fucking shoot in wet on Wellington out of all places.
Is that a gay sauna?
Yep. Yes,
love
it is.
Love that. It was camp. She had a whole routine. Olivia's gown that she had. Did you see Olivia's Liquid Dreams?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just, we were robbed. Why can't we do all the seasons like All-Star 7? Have everyone there the whole time.
And then we get
which is obviously a reference to H2O, just add water. Cleo!
It was all there and it just didn't happen. And I thought, well, whatever. Throw it out. What the fuck?
Next week's episode is a roast, and hopefully they all roast this episode just gone.
Well, this is it. I really hope so as well. Don't know what they're going to do in terms of a roast. Are they going to bring back all the winners, or is it going to be a roast of Reese? I'm not sure.
Are they going to bring in a crowd of people? No.
Probably not. I don't know where they would fit a crowd of people in that shed.
Precisely.
It was enough to find the librarian space.
This is true. This is true. And, we've come to the end of the episode, which leads me to my final note on my 8 pages of notes.
Yes.
Can I get a full list of everything you stole off the set, please, Gab?
Low fat, no fat, full cream, high calcium, high protein, soy, light skim, omega-3, high calcium, and vitamin D, and folate or extra dollop.
Sometimes you just want regular milk.
That tastes like real milk.
This tastes like full cream milk and only 2% wet.
Wet liquid dreams. You would have been milk for your runway if you did this category.
Harvey milk.
No, just milk, the drag queen.
So you didn't steal anything, Gab?
No.
No, I genuinely can't remember everything because it was a while ago, but I've got like the script from my acting challenge. I've got Rita's menu from when she walked in. I've got the parrot from the promo. I've got the whip and the handcuffs from the mini challenge. I've got coins from the promo. I've a lot.
Oh,
do you have something? I think you have a piece of wall, don't you, or something?
I don't have a piece of wall. I do have one of the strands from the runway that I literally chomped off with my teeth.
That's it.
And I have a little piece of carpet from the stairs that Ru walked in on.
RuPaul has touched this. I'm going to take it home.
I love everything about
it. Well, I have the Snatch Game card that had Ru's questions on it as well. I've got Ru's card that he was holding from Snatch Game.
What? Did you just grab it as soon as it was put down somewhere?
Yes. The second that Ru finished Snatch Game, he put the cards down and ran off and I went, fucking grab. There was four cards. I gave two to Isis and I had two myself.
And then you two ended up being top two, so maybe it was a good luck charm.
There was lots of weird little moments like that. Like on the very first day, there was an accident in the van and broken glass fell through the roof of the van on myself and Isis, and then we lip-synced to the ground to Walking on Broken Glass.
Yeah, did you not know that?
No.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for being on the program because you're a goddamn star.
Always happy to be on the program, darling. Thank you for having me.
Gabriella, we respect and appreciate your expert opinion. Today on Down Under Debrief, you can, of course, follow her on the socials at Gabriella_Labucci. We'll have that linked in the show notes. And you'll have to join us on Monday when we debrief with the next eliminated contestant. It'll be the semi-finals. That's pretty crazy. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can, of course, follow us as well on the socials at Down Under Debrief Pod. Let us know who you want us to debrief with next. You never know what could happen. And we'll see you next week. Hey, thanks again, Kat.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can I put in a request? I would love for you to debrief with, what's his name, who was the guest judge this week, Matt. Please have him on the show. That would be so gorgeous.
Matt O'Kine.
Love to hear more. Please.
I'll reach out and see if he's available. I feel like he's got a very empty schedule. So we're in luck.
We're nasty bitches. We are nasty bitches.
Hey,
nasty.
He is one of Australia's premier comedians, so much so that he doesn't even have a photo on IMDb.
Shall we finish the episode with, can I get an oh no?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Well, thanks so much, Gab, and we will see you at home listening next week.
How will you see me at home listening?
I'm in your balls.
You're all fantastic. I need to go and wee so bad right now.
Okay.
Go piss, girl.
Ma.
Love you.
Goodbye, my loves. Ta-ta. Bye.